Face-to-Face Games proudly presents Grand Prix Toronto, the first Grand Prix featuring the Hour of Devastation Limited format, July 21st to 23rd. Come face pro players as they flex their muscles just 1 week before the Pro Tour. Every Grand Prix entry includes a sleep-in special and registered sealed pool for players with buys. Visit gptoronto2017.facetofacegames.com to register and learn more.
The first rule of Fight Club is...
It's time to get out.
I got out of hand quick.
I don't like when we miss gold. I used to be a prospector once.
So, oh?
Yeah, I dig for gold, man.
I love gold.
Oh my goodness.
My life. Holy
your life?
Smokes.
Yeah.
How's your life?
About as good as yours, plus maybe two cafes. By the way, best precast story, lead-in, intro, whatever, hashtag get to know me. So I went to Tim Hortons. I was out with the family, and wife's like, get me a coffee. I'm like, no problem, I'll go in. But I like to sometimes be spontaneous. Maybe that's the right word.
To say the least.
Yeah, I like to do things. But I also have a field. This is one of the get-to-know-me's. There is a field that surrounds me. Many people have tried to label it bizarre things. But it is a like quantum field that... Sometimes it's 10 feet around me. Sometimes it's like more, depending on the people. But weird things happen inside this field. And that's why I try to live in Oakville in a bubble. Because I got to stop it from affecting the world. But... things happen. So I decided going to Tim Hortons, and this is what I was going to do. Because it's like 8 o'clock at night, and I used to work at Toys R Us, and sometimes we do night shift or like closing shift. So the people that work 9 to 6, they are like, I hold a special place in my heart for those workers, because they don't care. They're in at 6, they're out in 3 hours, or like they're doing the evening shift, they don't care, they're going clubbing. You know that these are the funnest people to talk to. So my goal is I walk into Tim Hortons, and I'm in my head, I'm like, you know what would be funny? If I only say one word, cafefe. And I'm not, when they ask me what I want, I'm just going to keep saying cafefe. So I'm in line, I swear to God, I'm in line, and I'm laughing already to myself, which of course I love laughing at my own jokes for some reason. And I get to the line, and this girl was gas. She's got blue hair, she's got nose rings. And she looks like she's just, like, got handed, I don't know, the worst shift ever. And she's just looking at me. She's like, what do you want? And I'm like, covefe. And she's like, what size? And I'm like, covefe. And she's like, okay. And she's like the look on her face, because in two words, she's like, oh, we're doing this? Is this what we're doing? Now, the guy making bagels, the guy making on the bagel station, he turns around and he's like, covefe? And I'm like, covefe. And he's like, oh my God. And he's like giving me like, you know, the fingers like, yeah, yeah. And the girl's like, what do you want in it? Cream? Sugar? What is this? Decaf? And I'm like, covefe. And she's like, all right. And she just punches it in, right? Punches it in. And she's like, well, I hope it's what you want. And I'm like, covefe. And the guy making bagels is like snorting, laughing. Like, guys, he's like, I wouldn't want to be the guy who had that bagel because probably boogers in it. But he's losing it. So she goes, she makes coffees, gives them to me, and she gives me two coffees. I didn't add, all I said was covefe. She gives me two medium double doubles. Now, of course, if you're a Canadian, you probably know that the double doubles, I guess, the coffee. It's what everyone gets. It's the most common thing. So I guess she just made whatever was the thing. But I go inside, I took a little picture of it. I'm like, all I said was covefe. I got two coffees, which is exactly what I wanted. I wanted a coffee for me and my wife. And so I get back and I tell my wife, and she's like, you know, sometimes you do the stupidest stuff. And I'm like, hun, What are you talking about? People understand me. Like, I was communicating on a level. Like, I was like Trump, man. She's like, only people. I'm such an effective communicator that I can communicate with people using fake words.
And fake not word, even... a singular. Just
yeah,
one.
A fake word. Call that thing. So, yeah, that was gas. But other than that, my life's been, it's a crunch, man. It's always a crunch, right? We're trying to take a week off for Vegas next week, and it's just like, everything in the world must be done now. And it's like, yoo-hoo!
Yeah.
What about you?
So I did the GP 3 weeks ago.
Nice.
Then I did bachelor party the week after that.
Oh, okay.
So this weekend I did the wedding.
Oh, the triple, man.
Dude. And then,
the triple, right,
man,
there.
I know. And then next weekend is the ultimate showdown of Ultimate Destiny plus a face-to-face games Modern Open.
Dude,
that's Saturday, Sunday, and then I'll see you on Wednesday for Vegas.
Oh my God, you're gonna be burnt out, man.
Dude, you're the one with eight projects to go.
Seven now. Oh yeah, I got. Oh man, if anyone knows, I get jammed up like crazy because I'm like the guy that has to like put everything out the door, and like for some reason, a month ago I'm like, hey, I'm going away. In June for a week, so anything we need done you should let me know. Okay, everyone talk to clients, everyone's like all good, right? Of course, what happens Monday, like this Monday, hey, you know all those projects we said we don't need done? Yeah, we need them done.
Yeah, just kidding, we actually need them super done.
I'm like, oh yeah, covefe.
Yeah,
covefe, you right in the bolas.
Right in the bolas, yeah.
Right in the bolas. Oh, man. Anyways, I don't know if there's any lurkers out there who have joined us for an episode of the Good Old Hype Club. But here we are, episode 21. As always, I am Matty Studios.
Tony Awesome Sauce here talking about real life and love and the pursuit of bolas.
Yeah, the pursuit of covefe and bolas. Just to recognize the people that actually listen to this cast, we have heard you. Quite a few people DM me or are like, yeah, I like these things after the credits. And I was like, we didn't do anything. We were just calling you idiots for listening to it. And they're like, yeah, we like that. Do that
yeah,
again.
Yeah, like so. A lot. I know.
Like a lot. Do it a lot.
Okay, so Maddie, check this out. When the episode first got posted, I was totally uh-huh. expecting there to be like a 30-35 minute blank spot.
Oh,
and
dude,
I had a two-hour episode.
I was almost. We will never.
But this
okay.
this might, I know, I well, this might actually be a long one because we haven't even got into it, and there's actually a lot of stuff I want to talk about, so I'm right, probably going right. to try and like take up as much of your time as humanly possible.
I love it. Well, Hall of the Bandit Lord, for some reason, is awesome and modern. I don't know why. But
what the hell? Where did that come from?
Because I was going to say something else, and then my brain decided to shut off. It happens
need
all
more
the time.
Covefe.
All of me, yeah, I do need more covefe. Okay, well, we're going to do a few things, just so you stick around, because I know some of you are like, oh, another episode of Hype Club, we're out of here. Now I remember.
I know I am.
yeah, okay, now I remember what I was going to say. We will never, ever have a two-hour episode. Hashtag empty promises. Okay, so I remember on Heavy Meta, I would just completely just lie and say, we're never doing this, and then, like, literally we would do it. So, we're never having a two-hour episode. Cue the two-hour episode. Yeah. We started out with goals. I had goals, I had a plan, I had a spreadsheet. We were trying to stay on topic, or on point, and we're failing miserably. But, I don't even know, are we actually casting next week?
I would like to. Oh, I was thinking we could do one of two things. We could either cast Tuesday, because we leave Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
We could cast Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, it might
or
work.
Could maybe do try something from the airplane.
Oh, God. Yeah. Matt and Tony getting arrested or put in an airport jail cell.
Hey, it wouldn't be the first time that me being arrested is on film.
Hashtag get to know us. Okay, so let's jump in. We got Arch Enemy. Let's talk some magic stuff before we have fun stuff.
Okay, I actually wrote some stuff down, so I want to talk about Arch Enemy first, but I actually kind of want to talk about like some tournament results and some stuff that's been going on. But Arch Enemy is where I want to start because get actually right into it. What do you think of the Arch Enemy frames, the schemes?
Okay, they're good. I mean, in terms of like what I expected it to be, right? Like, it's if you didn't think it's gonna be the horns, then I'm like, dude, come on. Like,
obviously, it was gonna be the horns, but
I saw it coming a mile away.
Obviously, now, it wasn't supposed to be a shock of what it was.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. Proxy Guy, though, however, as he does, he improves things. I mean, what he did, he just like shortened them, took them out of the way. Again, let the art shine. I think he just improves things. The man's just too good. He just improves it, makes it better. So, based on past Arch Enemy frames, because I did buy, actually, the first one and Plane Chase, I actually didn't mind it because it's different. So, like, Invocations is different, right? Like, that's a magic card going in my deck, so I'm really picky about what it looks like. But these oversized cards, I don't really care. Like, it can be different, and that's fine with me. So I have no problem with these frames, but Proxy Guy did improve them, so...
I think these frames are, like... the high nut. I think they're like what the invocations very well just could have been and would have been like super sweet. And not only that, it now looking at oversized cards and seeing the art that they put on them,
the art's nuts.
The art is insane. The art is like some of the best like art on a card. And because they have a bigger play space for it, and because the frame like adds something to it instead of trying like to detract or be its own separate piece of art. Yeah. This should be, like, some feedback they get. Like, if you look at the preview picture that has, like, the box set that has, like, the Nicol Bolas beside the scheme. Oh, man, and you get one of those spin-down things that are, like, $50 from the Commander Arsenal set. Man,
you know, I've never held one of those.
They're sweet. Sweet. Yeah, they're really sweet. Anyways, the Nicol Bolas is, like, the picture they use for the new Nicol Bolas is too big for the small frame. But it would have probably worked in like a full art style card. Yeah.
Can I tell you something? So what I would have done, because I think this is an interesting idea, right? Like, to me, this is the closest Magic has gotten to a video game. I know that's weird. You're like, what? Think about this. The schemes he has are like combo moves. The decks are built to like, you team up against the evil dungeon boss. Like, this is as close to video games as Magic is getting right now.
Oh, Arch Enemy's great.
The concept's brilliant. What I would have done, though, is my Nicol Bolas card would have been a double size. So Nicol Bolas himself would just be bigger than the rest of them. So he would have been on a scheme size card.
So maybe just another oversized one, like the Commander or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, right?
100% yes. It doesn't come with one?
I don't think it does.
I don't think it does either. That's too bad. So I have it. It has four deck boxes. Yeah. The cool spin down thingy. The three deck Chandra, Gideon, Nissa, scheme deck, Nicol Bolas deck. Yeah.
Now
the box is actually really nice.
It's okay. I mean, okay. You want to talk boxes? Let's talk boxes. In my opinion, the Wizards has to stop with the cheap, flimsy garbage boxes and actually like look. You're buying $100 booster box or something like. Even these boxes, I think they should really start to make the boxes a little better so that they can actually be used and not fall apart. Now, I will say this. There is a conspiracy theory going around. The reason they don't do that is because Ultra Pro and other competitors make supplemental products, which, you know what? That probably is very true. But
I don't wish that their stuff lasted forever because... I like that it comes
because with I everything. Run a game store.
I throw this garbage out all the time. Like nobody really like wants it, but the few people who do, like the kids who come in or the first time people who like need a deck box, like I always have them to just give to them, which is really nice. And the second thing is like people like who do use them, because they come with every product, they tend to like get a sweet upgrade every time they buy something.
Yeah. That's true.
I was thinking about this because I at the store we get sent like hundreds of RPTQ deck boxes, which are like pretty nice ones that say like RPTQ on them, and then everyone who plays in the event, like sub 65 or sub 70 people, all get one, and then we destroy the rest of them because they're like from a certain event, right?
Right.
But this time it's giant Nicol Bolas on them, and we just had the RPTQ on Saturday, and everyone was like, yo, these boxes are sick.
Oh, put one aside, man. My kids would die.
Oh, we have destroyed all of the extra ones, so I can't do that for you, Maddie.
Oh, okay. Well, we make soap in a garage, so I thought anything was possible, but okay. Anyways, what do you think of the decks? Because if we talk about this in terms of a player.
Yeah, all right, cool. Let's break it down a little bit. I don't really care about the Nicol Bolas Planeswalker alternate art. What? I know a lot of people do.
What?
I don't
care is a harsh level. It's like, not, you could be ambivalent, but don't care?
I don't really play Commander. I'm not going to play an 8-mana Grixis Planeswalker. Like, it's cool. It's really sweet.
It's fringe modern playable. Come on. It's fringe modern.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It was actually in a Tron list. Nicol Bolas was in a Tron list last year. So it is. It has seen play as a one of.
Maddie.
I'm not even joking.
Maddie.
Go look it up.
I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm not. You call that fringe playable?
What else is fringe playable?
It has been played one time in one deck in one list that you can't.
I bet there's a Japanese.
All right, anyways. It doesn't.
Okay.
He looks like Obnixilus. He doesn't look like Nicol Bolas. Like, it doesn't come to me as like a new, most amazing card. Like, if you scroll down in this article and look at the old Nicol Bolas, that card looks awesome. And I just don't think it's an upgrade in art, personally. Right. But anyways, let's move on to the deck.
Subjective.
Because, yeah, some of the Nicol Bolas deck actually has like some pretty sweet cards in it, including two Lightning Bolts.
Lightning Bolts.
Right?
And Doomblade. Yeah, it's
I mean,
not
Doomblade's
bad.
Whatever, but Lightning Bolt is still like...
Doomblade's iconic, man.
Lightning Bolt's a four-color card.
Yeah, well, I know. Lightning Bolt, in my opinion, like, here's the thing.
Dude, it's also got Drowned Catacombs, like, Dragon Skull Summit. Like,
yeah, but it could have had better lands. Could have had better lands. Look, I look at it like this. This is going to cost you $65. I feel like 2 years ago, I think, like, if this product had come out, we would have said, where's the reprints? Where's Thoughts, Inquisition of Thoughts? Like, where's all the cards? Like, you know, this is where reprints should sit. And since we've had, like, it feels like 16 or 18 months of just solid reprints all the time, I don't know. Even though Lightning Bolt's a $4 card, I feel like we're getting saturated a bit. And I would have loved to have seen, like, loved, to tie in a little closer to Amonkhet. So, like, maybe we did get new art, which is cool, on the Planeswalkers. And you got Bolas. But, like, Lightning Bolt would have been amazing as a Lightning Bolt over a Pyramid. Like, come on. Like, oh, like, they could have just done a few little touches here.
I agree with you on that one. I think that's, like, pretty legit. And the iconic cards, like the Planeswalkers, how they all look up, like they're looking like they're fighting.
Yeah, because he's bigger, right? Like, which would have been so good.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I think they could have gone the next step with some of the iconic cards. But maybe that's what we're going to, like, that's what sort of, like, worries me about Iconic Masters / excites me is, like, are we going to get reprints of old iconic things or are we going to get iconic cards with new art?
We still have another round of invocations.
I know.
I guarantee you by Christmas, we're going to be deluged, like, or deluged.
Hey, Maddie, do you think we're going to get Lightning Bolt as an invocation?
Okay, I'll put more money on that than I will on Blackjack Table. If we don't get a Lightning Bolt, and it's telegraphed in the Nicol Bolas deck, man. Here's the thing. Nicol Bolas is Grixis, right? So what three iconic spells do you most associate with Nicol Bolas? Lightning Bolt is the red one. What's the blue one? Counter something, right? Maybe counter spell even. And then the black one? Ooh, Thoughtseize. I feel like those are like the three colors, like the most iconic spells that make up him, right? Of who he is. So like, yeah, we're going to get those for sure. And they better be awesome.
Well, the only one I'm locked in so far is...
It's Lightning Bolt?
No, Living End.
Ooh, interesting. Oh, yeah. Actually, that's actually really good. And it ties with the theme.
Yeah,
anyways,
exactly.
Let's get back to the decks. Because few people have said these are really shitty in terms of just... They threw the most garbage mythics in there. And, like, the Planeswalker decks. Like, Rampaging Baelots, I think. And then they didn't even give you the good Titan. They gave you Sun Titan, Infernal Titan. But they don't give you Primeval Titan. Which would have been perfect on the Nissa deck. Like, come on, man.
I mean, so as someone who plays Primeval Titan in Modern, it's not like a super fun card to play. Like, it's super powerful. It ends games immediately.
Of course it is.
But it's not like fun the way that Sun Titan is. Like, Sun Titan makes all of your other cards better. It, like, makes the game that you play better. It makes you play more. And Primeval Titan makes you play less. right? You just win the game. You can do everything. Yes, it does, dude. No, yes, it does. You put the lands in play. Next turn you attack, you put more lands in play. You cast any spell in your deck. You stop drawing lands. Like, it just it ends the game effectively.
Look Sun at the Titan Nissa deck.
Does not do that.
Look at the Nissa deck. Because this is the thing. Like, when you look at the decks and how they're going to play out, you don't even... Like, what are you even ramping into there? There's nothing to even ramp into besides Rampaging Baylos.
Well, why would you have it? Like,
because I would have... Well, I would have give you a Terracidon or something. I would give you something besides a giant Sandworm. I don't know. Like, that deck... To me, the Nicol Bolas deck looks exciting to play.
Dude, it has Sword of the Animist in it, which it turns your creature into effectively... A totally reasonable Primeval Titan. And Primeval Titan is not a reasonable magic card. It's not... There's a reason that, like...
What I'm saying is, in other formats, I agree with you. What I'm saying is, in this deck, you could have completed the Titan cycle. Like, I just feel so bizarre.
There's no Grave Titan.
Well, because they're not black, right? I'm saying for the Hero Walkers, right...
I guess so.
Look, I don't know. To me, maybe I've just played the game too long and I have all these cards, so it's not exciting to me. But, like, I'm even looking at this in terms of, like, playing with my kids, right? Like, how would they want to play? And the first thing I would do is I would upgrade, like, the decks that Nicol Bolas has to play against because he gets the schemes. Like, I can't imagine any one of these decks beating Nicol Bolas.
Have you played the Archenemy sets, like, as they came out?
They're hard.
They're really hard.
Dude, we tried to play it with my kids, and it was like, they were just PO'd, because it was just like, this is not fair.
This looks more like they've designed these decks to work together, to, like, be sort of powerful if it's three in their on own, one, right? But, like,
sure.
But work together. I totally understand why they don't have Primeval Titan in here, and I totally see where you're coming from, where... You need to have... You're a completionist.
I am. Oh, hashtag get to know me. I cycles.
Yeah.
And I cannot... that's the one thing that, like, I'm Sheldon-esque, you know?
Yeah.
I can't handle that. If the things aren't done in a cycle or in a... I don't know why, but... it infuriates me. But anyways, overall, I think, like, $65 is a high price point. Because $65 is the exact same price as a PlayStation game or an Xbox game. And to me, I was like, wow, this set is totally like, hey, like, you know, mom, you got a 12-year-old kid.
Also, it's like $90 for a PlayStation game.
No, it's not. It's like $65. Come on.
Dude.
Is it?
When's the last time you bought a game?
Actually,
yeah, American. I was talking to somebody actually just the other day, and they were just like, I can't justify spending like $85 on a digital download for a new game.
Ugh, yeah, well, that's true. I mean, I'm just saying, like, it feels like this is a value offer for non-Magic players. Like, I feel like this is not even for an established player.
Okay,
this
so how do you, like, feel about products like this in general trying to, like...
I love them.
But is this the way to do it? Like,
this is not bad. Oh, man, I didn't put it in the show notes, but it is all correlates. So the professor brought up one of my favorite topics of all time, which is, like, making a magic cartoon, right? And you look at, like, the budget that goes into something like this set, or in their promotion in general, and he nailed it. He's like, you should take all that budget, you should put it into a cartoon, you should make it. And that would do more for the game than any movie, anything else you could ever do. That would just do God's work, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Batman the Animated Series, Legend of Korra style, go. You know, and follow, and, you know, anything's possible. You could follow the current sets and planes. So the season one is Amonkhet and wherever we're going next. Like, you could do it, right?
Yep.
Yes, it would take a bit of, you know, cohesion, and frankly, probably they probably wouldn't be able to do it because of leaks and that. But even if you didn't, even if you just had Jason the Planeswalkers, boom. And they're maybe a year or two behind where we are in standard. Who cares? The point is, this is what's going to get young kids. And when I say young, I'm like 8 to 15. That is the range, like, my kids are in.
Maddie, don't tell me that you couldn't... This is so frustrating to hear. Like, okay, don't tell me that a big company studio couldn't make, like, a weekly cartoon out of 12 Magic Pros. Like, dude, do you remember watching cartoons back in the 80s when, like, they drew that every... I'm not kidding. I want you to talk about it. They drew that, like, every day. Like, Fat Albert and the gang. And we were watching stuff like... That could easily be Sam Black and Raptor as a Raptor. And,
look,
you know,
okay,
like...
You want to hear my pitch?
And they meet up with Jason and they do crazy stuff because that's what happened last week.
No. It's not Dungeons & Dragons style where we involve a real person into the world. Here's my pitch. This would be the sickest ever. The way to tie it all in. And you could even, if you don't want to build magic cards for pros, right, for winning things, here's what we do. You make a show, the show takes place, but there's a little segment at the end, just like G.I. Joe, right? Get to know whatever. And you actually have a magic player, so Sam Black, and he gives you a simple tip on how to play the game. And you do that at the end of every episode.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's absurd.
That's actually really dope.
You could also, before you go to break, you could have facts about, like, LSV won this many Pro Tours, or he won 21 games straight in a tournament in 1975. Whatever. The point is, there's so many things to do. A cartoon is, like, the most logical and it's the most implementable. That's the joke. It's Hasbro. My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, Trent, like, they're the masters at making cartoons. I don't understand why this has not been occurred. Like, it just hurts my brain. And if I could kickstart this, I would tomorrow. Because I would donate $100 tomorrow for them to start a cartoon. Because that's that good. But anyways, back to Plane Chase, or back to Archenemy. If you had a cartoon, imagine what you could do. You could make an Archenemy set themed after the villain of that season.
Yep.
So if you had Nicol Bolas, right, this would be perfect, and you theme as the season. So this style set can target the cartoon, which is brilliant. Same logo, it's Jason the Planeswalker versus Nicol Bolas, Archenemy, bam. Maybe next it's, you know, versus Eldrazi or the Phyrexians or whatever. But how incredible, number one, would that look in Walmart next to action figures? So they could skew the shelf nicely. Oh, you got your Jace, boom, you got your Jace versus the Archenemy set. I mean... Dude, and then you got your magic card sitting right beside it, so you get the entire cross-platform ecosystem. Come on. Like, oh,
easy game.
I'm just saying, this is an interesting set. I think $65 is a high price point. I get that it feels like it's a video game or this, right? Because I can play this with my friends, probably get 20, maybe more, right? If you have, like, four friends, you could probably get 100 hours out of it before they got bored. So I see the value. I see why they picked that number. I just feel like... I don't know. Like, for a magic player like me, I think that's not worth it. Inside a box like this, though, however, like, I'm fine with the quality of cards they chose. If you gave something that wasn't magic, give a little figurine of Nicol Bolas.
Sure.
I know people don't get this that are older or that, like...
Hey, Pokemon box sets are doing it.
Do you know my kids ask for Pokemon boxes for one reason?
Everything but the booster packs.
Really,
the oversized card, the pin.
Can I tell you that on their wall right now are the big cards, and on their shelf is the figures.
Yeah.
And they talk about them, they know them, and you know what? In 10 years, you know what they're going to do when they say, remember our youth? Oh yeah, the nostalgia factor? Oh, Pokemon. Like, this is how you do it. Magic, for some reason, is like, nope, game only. That's it. And they have to start. I know they had that failed experiment with those... like McFarlane-esque style toys, which I bought and they broke. We took them out of the thing and Liliana fell over and her arm broke off.
Oh, really? Because I got some at the GP.
They're the worst.
Like, I just don't open them. Yeah.
No. You can't even... They're so fragile, they just fall apart. The Chandra, my kids just tried to move the arm and it fell off. And then I read the back and it's like, these are not toys. They're figurines. They're not meant to be posed. Which I'm like... What? You mean, like, a little girl's not going to play with Chandra? Like, come on. Ugh, so frustrating. So, like, they need to go to, like, hardcore action figures, man. Like,
yep.
Ones that, you know, can take a 10-year-old shoving it down his pants and running through a forest. Like,
yeah, right?
I don't know why a 10-year-old would do that, but I did that. Hashtag get to know me. Yeah. I used to shove my action figures down my pants when I would go to my friend's house. I don't know why. Maybe because I had small pockets. I'm not sure, but, like, anyway. Weird things that would happen in those days. I feel like if they threw something else that was non-card related, game related, like cross that, get that ecosystem bigger. Oh man, that's just sweet spot. Like, imagine if the holiday gift set came with an action figure, charge $10 more.
Yeah, right.
Dude, I would. Okay, instantly the old cynical person in me would be like, well, what figures do I get?
Yep.
Like, I'm like, how many do I need to buy? Is there five different variants?
Yeah.
Like, come on. And the average person buying it for the five booster packs, who cares? Like, I don't know. Like, that, then you can't game that. You know, instead of putting a foil card in there that, you know, maybe chase, do something like that.
Right.
I don't know. But anyways, that's Archenemy. So, it's interesting. I can't get too upset about it because I understand what the product is. Looking at the actual scheme cards, I'm like, I would play this. This looks like a fun night, right?
Yeah, it does.
Get four people, and then, I mean, obviously I'd probably bring some upgraded cards. You know, here, Heroes Downfall, let's play for real.
The schemes themselves actually seem like pretty sweet. I kind of skimmed over them, and I think you could just play this with four random decks.
Oh, yeah, four modern decks?
Yeah.
Against Tron. Tron would be the evil one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, always is.
It is, right?
Yeah.
You just have to swap out your Ugins for Nicol Bolas. They're done.
No, just add Nicol Bolas.
Yeah. Good luck casting
that's,
him,
that's
dude.
Like the, that's like the slogan from everything from Amonkhet to Hour of Devastation. It's like, just add Nicol Bolas.
Yeah, just add Nicol Bolas.
Yeah, Pyramid's not cool enough? Put some Nicol Bolas in the background.
Comes with free sand.
Basic Lands not cool enough anymore? Yeah. Full art not getting it done for you? Put some Nicol Bolas horns. In it.
Just put some horns in it. It's awesome. Just add
Nicol Bolas.
Now with 400% more horn.
Nah.
Okay, so let's jump into
set about dragons, now including more than one dragon.
Yeah, exactly. No dragons at the lower cost. Only all six mana and above.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk what we're doing. Frontier. I know you and me have been talking about it.
All right.
What are we bringing? What are we doing? Cool. Now, I know last week we lied to everyone and said we were on Jun Grindr.
Well, I was.
By the way, get to know Tony. He changes his mind on decks every day.
Every single day.
You can never, ever, like, ask him, what's your favorite deck? Because it'll change. So if you start this, don't ever do what I do, where I'm like, what are we playing? Jun Grindr? Okay, let's go to face, start buying cards, put them in my cart. And next day I ask him, so what are we playing? Not Judge Grindr. I'm like, dude, I just bought those cards.
No, you still have it. We're unlocking options, Maddie. That's why you gotta look at it.
I agree. This is why I have
the Frontier box, which I have recently pared down and cleaned up, and you asked me what we're bringing to Vegas, and I'm pretty sure I'm bringing the Frontier box.
No, you're not, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
That giant box. Okay.
Dude, I gotta pare down to like a holiday gift box.
Okay. Well, that's reasonable.
Right?
That can fit in your box. So, you just don't want to lose it, man.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk about Frontier, because I've been watching Paul Dean absolutely destroy Standard with Teamer Marvel. He made the finals of GP Montreal, he made top four of GP Omaha this week, losing only to Brad Nelson, who is on the same deck with the same tech.
Yeah.
And Brad talked about it like in the finals, like, yeah, me and Paul were playing this deck, this is our deck, whatever. So, and every time I watch Paul lose in the top eight, it's like 0-2. Like, he gets, like, savagely destroyed. But it's never like, wow, that guy was, like, better than Paul. It was like, well, Paul...
No, he just
like,
drew back.
He did his best. So, yeah. I mean, that guy's a lock to win the next, like, five things that he plays. So, like, Paul's just, like, absolutely insane.
He's on a heater, man.
Not only is he on a heater, but he's just that good. He actually is that good. Like, he is a platinum-level pro.
Yeah.
So
I like watching it.
Yeah, it's great.
So let's talk about
it. So anyways, I've been watching his deck.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a Teamer Marvel build in Frontier, because the things that you're actually looking for is A, the mana fixing.
Yep.
B, the counter spells and draw spells of Glimmer of Genius to get your energy. That's like the most important, and Harness Lightning. So like those are like the spells. Like you want to play a tune, you want to play Harness Lightning, you want to play Glimmer of Genius, but beyond that, like you want to be
you
able
don't
to
play Virtuoso.
You want to well, this is where it all like kind of.
Oh, okay. Like because a tune is like a must, right? Like I would imagine.
So is Harness Lightning, and in my opinion, so is Glimmer.
And like, Glimmer, yeah. Those are the three of everything I want four of. For
yeah,
sure. Start
exactly. So then after that, there's other options, but so that's where I started for my deck that I'm gonna play tomorrow.
Okay.
And I said, okay, so how do we take what could this deck could have been in standard and like actually abuse it? So I looked at the cards that are legally not allowed to go in the deck, and I started with Fetchlands because Fetchlands and Marvel are good, right? But yeah. I don't think that's like the right avenue for this deck. You can play a couple Fetchlands, that's fine, but that's not like the primary focus. It doesn't.
Oh, I thought you would play 12 fetches and get like free energy, man. Like,
right? But you still have to play a tune with Aether, and like you don't want to have to take like a bajillion damage. And like, anyways, we'll get back to the mana base. But the other cards that it had are like the three drops were like the Rogue Refiner and Whirler Virtuoso.
Yeah.
Right. And those cards are like good, and they're definitely like very strong in the current standard format, but we don't have to like be restricted by that. So I started looking at Reflector Mage.
Yeah. Which, because we want to improve our hits off Marvel. That's really what like Frontier gives.
Exactly. Right? So I looked at Reflector Mage, and then that just instantly unlocked white, so we put Saheeli combo in.
Strangely, a lot of people would be like, what? But I'm like, that makes a lot of sense.
Right, so now we're basically just Teamer Marvel with 4 Saheeli, 4 Felidar Guardian, and 3 Reflector Mage. Still have a couple Rogue Refiners, still have a couple Whirler Virtuosos, because Saheeli plus those cards is how you want to kind of combo out. And Woodweaver's Puzzle Knot to like mitigate some life loss, deal with the aggro decks. And then, instead of having really, really bad draws in your deck, like for Ulamog, we just play 4 Emrakul.
Sure. I have no problem with that.
So, as I've been playing it, what's really nice is you get to...
But you could also play Ugin. Like, that's the thing.
Sure. Your big hits are whatever.
Two Ugin, 2 Emrakul sound better to me. Or maybe a 6, right?
Yeah.
3-3?
Yeah, we'll mess around with it. Maybe it's 4-1, whatever. But we'll figure it out. Some of the things that are really interesting about it that didn't get a chance to come up in standard is... You can play less energy producers if you have ways to interact with them. For example, if you play a Woodweaver's Puzzle Knot on turn 2, you can then play a Saheeli and copy the Puzzle Knot without them fear of draining it, getting 3 more life or 3 more energy.
Yeah, put the cat down.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So then we can still like play a Reflector Mage and then copy it with Saheeli, or we can start bouncing things. Like casting Reflector Mage really off Aetherworks Marvel is like a completely reasonable like hit. As well as being able to cast Felidar Guardian and blink your Marvel to untap it.
Okay, there's two things I want to talk about. Because, like, you're blowing my mind right now with... I thought, at first, I'm like, yeah, throw the combo in because why not, right? Maybe do that as a transformative sideboard. But I'm like, wow, the synergy with Saheeli and the cat, just with everything energy, is actually really, really good. Like, that's all... You're not dead, right? Like, nothing is sitting there dead. It's... You can blink something. You can bounce something. You can copy something. That's really good.
Yeah. And I like the idea of just being able to play your spells and not... And be comfortable with what's going on. And sometimes, if you've never played with Reflector Mage, then start playing Frontier. you weren't around in Standard for that... Whatever, I'm sure we have a new listener out of the few of you who are still around listening to this jargon. It doesn't look on paper like casting Reflector Mage on turn 3 into like a creature is good enough, but it seriously is. Like they have to deal with that card, because if you can play a Saheeli and copy it, or if you can blink with a Felidar Guardian, you will just be so unbelievably far ahead. That when you do cast your Marvel and they interact with it, you can just then cast Saheeli and combo off on them.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that we have to remember is the deck's going to be really good against most of the field. It's the combo matchups that, you know, are going to race us, where we don't really have a lot to do. And that's like where, what are you thinking the sideboard needs? Like, because this is like my biggest dilemma right now. I'm looking at Frontier is really wide open. It's almost like Modern a bit, where there's a lot of angles that you can attack at. And I want to make sure that like what I play, and I'm leaning towards Thundercats, which is essentially your deck just minus Marvel.
Yeah, we switched the Marvel for Court Calling. Court and Evolution.
Yeah, like so I'm having like more direct answers. So I believe in my head the way it plays out is like I can combo out faster instead of just relying on random six, you know, top decks.
Okay, so that's what I thought, and that's okay. Why I kept studying the Teemer Marvel deck, and I kept watching Paul and Brad play, because their ability to switch to a control game and just eventually cast the big things that's in their hand by having like sensors and negates and
right
and like more interaction.
Right. So how much counter mat? That's
so the,
okay.
So the blue is actually like pretty important, and okay. This build didn't like end up with any sensors or anything in it, but I could definitely see that like being a potential, even against like an Atarka red deck or something. You know, if you get to sensor a Hordling Outburst, that's as good as that's you're going to really get, good. Right? If you spend two mana to counter any spell, that's really really strong. So I like the idea of having a way to finish the game much faster than getting to Ugin, i.e. having the combo. But I also like having a proactive game plan where you could potentially just do the other most busted thing, which is put an Emrakul into play on turn four. So what I like about this deck is it's got two very strong turn four angle of attacks, and I think it's going to be able to race most other types of decks doing whatever it is they're doing. Like if they're not interacting True. With you, then you're going to be able to race them because you can just combo off or like Emrakul them. And if they are going to interact with you, then you have one card combos in your deck, like Aetherworks Marvel.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like it. It's like a mini Planeswalker that's just going to keep ticking up, right? Like,
Maddie, when this
going to find you.
When this wasn't standard, I had the line of play, which was spin Marvel, hit Felidar Guardian, blink Marvel, spin Marvel, hit Saheeli Wind.
Yeah, and dude, we talked about this. It was... That was going to be where it was going. I really felt
it. Even works the other way. If you hit Saheeli, yeah. then you can minus to copy and make a Marvel,
yeah.
and then spin again. So
and sack the other Marvel for energy.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Like, so it's gross, right?
So I mean, you lose your real Marvel when you do it that way because you have to keep the token sure. to spin it. But you get
if you're going all out.
Exactly. Right? You just get to see 12 cards and put two of them into play as long as you just have a substantial amount of energy and. Saheeli actually does a really good job of like copying Woodweaver Puzzle Knot, copying Whirler Virtuoso, copying Rogue Refiner, and just keeping that value engine going of like the way that... Man, if Felidar Guardian just said another target creature...
Oh, I would play that. That card's
well,
great.
It wouldn't... Not only would it not be banned, but the true like power of like teamer value would would be there, and that's like really exciting. This list doesn't even have one single Torrential Gearhulk, which I could see post-board if you want. Play like six counter spells and two Torrential Gearhulks, and
that's what I'm talking about.
And then just play
right
like
there.
Play like yes. a real control game where you just yes. play Drago.
I see that now you're talking. I love that.
Right,
and then
you can do one. Like, you can cut the Marvel for counter spells, or you can cut the combo for counter spells and just keep Marvel like. You
yeah,
fight
and
on
we
lots
have,
of different axes.
So, like, in my head, I was trying to think, like, what are the matchups we're going to see, right? We're going to see Collected Company decks, for sure.
Yeah,
we're going to see...
There's going to be, like, there's going to be Bancoco. They'll probably be...
Grixis Dragons is going to be popular.
Yeah,
we know that.
X-Dragon,
I guarantee
yeah.
you...
Hard
I guarantee
scales
you,
will be a thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, counters will be a thing. And then I guarantee you, we're going to actually probably see a fair bit of, like, cheap mono-red decks for one reason. People are going to bring two decks, right? They're
yeah.
going to bring the deck they want to play, and they're going to bring their cheap deck for their friend.
Yep.
And it's easy to play. So this is going to be interesting because Frontier is kind of in this, like, no man's land right now where, like, there's not really a people, like, other big sites talking about it. It's still there. It's a thing that, like, that's not dying people. It's going to be around.
Dude, we could be next leveling ourselves, like, out of the game.
We could. That's what I'm worried about. This is exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, why? What am I doing? Maybe. And this is why I went back to Thundercats. And I was like, maybe what I need to do is just play my game. And my deck has. It's a toolbox. I have answers for everything when I need it. So this. But I guess your deck is very similar. It's just play style, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. So interesting. We're gonna have some fun. I'm gassed for these events. Now, for people that are asking. What day are we playing Frontier Side events? Do we know yet, or we'll check in?
I haven't even
follow
really,
us on
like,
Twitter.
Yeah, I haven't even really like looked at the schedule to like plan my time. I was gonna like.
Yeah. Okay. So hashtag get to know us. We're really winging this shit. We're just we're flying. We're flying in. We're landing, and then we're just letting it happen, right? But we are bringing our decks. I do want to get in and see what the deal is there. But if there's a cube, that might win. So it depends on like what the cube action is and what the prizes are. And how crazy the event site is. Who knows? We'll have to check it out.
Yeah, so when we get in on Wednesday, it's like noon, barring any unforeseen circumstances. And it's Caitlin's birthday. So before the GP, we will definitely be like, you know, having dinner and spending time with her. So follow us on Twitter for those days. But as far as the GP goes, I would like to play Frontier sooner rather than later.
Sure.
Because if it's awesome, then we can play more.
Yeah, we'll go. You know what we'll do? First thing we're doing is we're going to land, get some food, and we'll go to the event site and check it out. Right?
Yeah.
See what the deal is. And we'll you know, follow us on Twitter. I got a new Pixel XL phone. Hashtag, I get a new phone every 5 years. This phone is gas. It's amazing. Although maybe any new phone would be amazing to me because My Nexus 5 would, you'd take it off the battery charger, and like by the time I got downstairs into the car, my battery would be dead. So,
oh, jeez.
Yeah, so like, and it would overheat all the time. So, I have a new phone, and I have a data plan, so you can tweet me, and I can respond in Vegas. So that is good. Let's jump to topic two or three. And this is something I'm getting tired of, and that is setup cards. We saw this with, I think it was Sigarda's Grace. What was that one mana white card that, like, I don't know.
Oh, so, Sigarda's Aid.
Aid, that's it. So it basically was foreshadowing, like, awesome equipment. We never got it. This is the end, Dark Imitations, Intimations. Another card. It foreshadows and then it doesn't do anything.
Well,
we had this with hold on. We don't know, so I'm going to put an asterisk beside that. But there's been a lot of cards in Magic where there was that other card, I think, in the original Shadows, where it referenced another half of a card. And now we got the other one with the Gate of the Dead, right, or something. So come on, Wizards. Like, I don't know what you're doing here, because we're really smart players, and if you see the feedback, people will instantly see that what's happening here. And then the payoffs are so horrible. Like, come on, man. In M11, I believe was the set where they had the three artifacts, the throne, the crown,
and the ring,
and the scepter.
Or the scepter,
I thought it was a scepter.
Yeah.
And those together were amazing. Like, that was great. And then we had, what was it, the Witch's Cauldron, I think, and something.
Yeah,
that was cool. But to me, I was like, they started off strong, and I was like hoping we would see something else. And I'm my fingers are crossed. I'm holding out that we're going to start see things like, hey, Gideon's, I don't know, whatever his thing's called, a mace or molus or bolus, whatever his stringy, his whip thing is that looks like someone shredded Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Is whatever that thing's called. I can't think of it. But, you know, having an artifact card, and then when Gideon gets it, he gets a free plus one or something. Like, I would love to see some more interaction like that.
Like the oaths.
Yeah, well, I mean, the oaths are cool. It's just,
like, they do a thing, and then they foreshadow the Planeswalker, and then when the Planeswalker comes in, it gets, like, another thing.
Yeah, I mean, those are great. I just feel like I want to see more interaction with things. I think that's cool. And the reason is, it's because casuals love it. Also, it's fun to do in a casual game. By the way, if you're a Magic player and you're playing, like, you know, tournaments and FNMs, and you're, like, always being competitive, you're missing out on so much of what Magic is. Play with a 10-year-old and watch them, like, care about something that is completely not relevant to the game board, but it's hilarious to see them try to do it. And you get into these mini games, and you just get into these things where they're trying to do something big. Because they've seen cartoons, right? They're like, I want to have this thing happen. You know, I want to ultimate a Planeswalker. Like, it was funny, I had a game with my daughter, and I was trying to ultimate Ral Zarek. And she got like, oh my god, she's doing everything she can to, like, stop me from ultimating Ral Zarek. Which I'm like, this is the stupidest ultimate ever.
Yeah, right?
I still have to flip coins. It's not even a guarantee. But we had a hilarious time with that. So, like, to me, I'm like, I would love to see more of those little things. I think for younger players especially, I think it's a really neat thing to build the deck around. I think it teaches deck building. But it also teaches like theme deck building for the Vorthos, right? Like, how can I build this together and how can I make them work and see the synergy here? So I don't know. Like, to me, Dark Intimations is like the, oh man, that's bad. Like, I don't know. Because you can't, it only works for Nicol Bolas, right? Like, that, they're not going to have other planeswalkers. Like, I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll have a cast of evil planeswalkers that are like agents of Bolas, you know? Well, maybe that helps trigger it, but.
Well, I mean, they didn't even put Dark Intimations in the Bolas deck.
Well, there you go, right? There's a yeah, they didn't even put it in that deck, so go figure. I don't know. To me, that's something that I'm just like, I don't know. Do better, guys. Come on. Like, that feels phoned in or forgotten about, and I don't know. For Magic players, they notice all these little details, so let's figure that out. Now, we've got, before we get into our post-episode, I don't even know what we're calling this.
Post-episode.
Post-episode. Yeah, oh, I like that. Post-episode. Kvefe. So, I don't know what this is in the notes, but apparently there's a surprise for me, and there's birthday shout-outs to Caitlin, which, you know, shout-out Caitlin.
And see you in Vegas, obviously. That's what we're doing Wednesday.
So
now that you know there's a surprise, I'm not going to say anything else until I see you.
Ah, oh, what the hell? This is such bull crap. Yep. All right, fine. Okay.
Hey,
okay,
it was sprung on me in also an amazing manner, but there's like a thing for a thing, and it's going to be awesome.
There's a thing for a thing. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, you know what that means.
If your name is Brad and you're listening to this, then you know you were the only person who knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, great, Brad. Always Brad knows everything.
Right?
Oh, my God. All right. Well, we will see you in Vegas, everybody who's coming. And if we get an episode out of it next week, that's bonus.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. So we'll see you after the break.
All right. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Hype out.
Okay. Well, we're not hyping out. You're messing with this. You're messing with this whole thing.
Is there a formula?
There's a cut. Well, I don't know if there's a formula. There might be. Messing with this whole thing.
Is there a formula?
There's a cut. Well, I don't know if there's a formula. There might be a formula.
What's?
There's something. Okay, look. We're in a post-apocalyptic era. We are in the part of the show that I like to call dangerous. So verbal things may happen that don't happen in the regular part of the show.
Let's talk about the decks we're really going to play.
No, fuck that, man. Like, get that out of here. Okay, so here's what I wanted to play, because this is an interesting game. People are playing this online right now. Get to know us, right? So they like, obviously no one can like us, and they probably don't, but we can bounce back off each other. Facts about us.
All right.
And we can see where we go.
All right.
So I'm going to start it off. A little known fact about me that you may not know. I once had beers in the forest with a Wolverine. No shit. Swear to God. So you could even hear that episode. And it's an old episode of Heavy Metal. But I actually drank with a Wolverine. He was trying to kill me at the time. But it was interesting. That's a fact. What do you got? Tony's like, dude, I can't compete with this. If number one at the top is a drunk Wolverine, dude, I can't compete with that.
I can't, here, how about this? I'll okay. also spew Maddie facts.
Okay. Maddie facts?
Yeah, did you know that Maddie used to drive a car with rollerblades on?
Not only, it was a manual car. So I used to, for 2 years, basically I was playing like semi-pro roller hockey. So we would put our skates on and then, you know, if anyone who plays hockey knows, once you lace your skates up and you get them nice, you really don't want to take your skates off. So we were so used to wearing our skates, we wear them all day. So we'd put our skates on in the morning, we'd go play, practice, and then, you know, we'd get hungry. So I would jump in my Jetta, 1999 Jetta, and it was a manual, and I would drive to, like, Tim Hortons or, you know, Burger Joint or whatever it was, Apache Burger, shout out to Etobicoke area, and with my skates on, and we'd all get out of the car with our rollerblades on in like half roller hockey gear, because we'd take some of our stuff off, but like our pants and our shin pads usually are still on with our hockey skates, and we'd, you know, just rollerblade into the restaurant, eat food, get back in the car, and go back and play. So interesting. I was, however, this is a lot of get to know me facts, but I'll throw a couple. I think this counts for five. I was also pulled over by a cop, if you can believe this. So there's six guys in a Jetta. Okay, this is absurd. There's six people in a Volkswagen-based, cheapest model you could buy Jetta. Manual. No air conditioning, and the windows had cranks. Okay? We have six hockey sticks down the center between the seats. I don't even know how six people fit, because the hockey sticks were jabbing into someone's face. So it's literally the sticks are on either side of the shifter. So anyways, I'm sure the cop pulled us over because he's like, what is this, a clown show? So he pulls us over. I'm wearing rollerblades, okay? But because the car is so packed with junk, he can't see my feet. And it looks like I'm driving the car with my knees, right? Because my feet are so high. So he's like, license. And I'm like, it's in the trunk under like five hockey bags of gear, sir. And he's like, ugh. Now this is like in the early, what? This is like 1996 or something. So I don't know if the cops were nicer back then or not. But like he was like, ugh. He's like, dude. And I'm like, yes. He's like, you can't have six people in this car. And I'm like, why? He's like, it's illegal. The two people don't have seatbelts on. And I'm like, two people? I think it's more than two people that don't have seatbelts. But whatever. So he's like reading me like the rights, right? Now I get the feeling, because I'm joking with him, that he's not going to give me a ticket. And my friends are all just like, being jerks, of course, right? Like, constantly hinting at wheels and, like, skates and stuff, right? And the cop sees my friend who's spinning his skate wheel in the passenger seat. And he's like, you guys don't take your skates off? And my friend's like, nope, none of us do.
Wow.
And I'm like, and I swear to God, I'm palming my face. And I'm like, I'm gonna shoot pucks at these mother effers' face, man. So the cop never asks me. He's just like, look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow you guys to wherever you're going, and then you all have to get out of the car and don't get back in the car with six people. So the cop follows us back to West Mall Rink, right? And I jump out of the car as fast as possible, right? Because I'm like, I'm just going to get on the rink, and then maybe he doesn't see me, right? So I literally full on speed into the parking lot, throw the brake on, emergency brake, bam, pop the key out of the car, bam, and I'm out and I'm running onto the rink, right? All my skates, like skating in the rink. And I could see the cop sitting in the parking lot, like looking, and in his head, he's probably like, did I see him? I need to have seen him with skates on. And he must have sat there for 25 minutes, like just death staring us, right? And we just started playing. But anyways, strange get to know me. But that was the story of the wheels. You know what? I'll say this. It takes 1,000 hours to master something in this life. So I've wasted a lot of hours mastering things that really aren't useful. But who knows? What is a get to know me, Tony, for you?
Okay, here's a get to know me. One of the chefs that I used to work for, Jason Bangerter, who I worked for at a restaurant called Luma. If you know anything about the Toronto International Film Festival, that's their like high-end restaurant in there. But last year he went to Paris to develop his own signature chocolate.
Whoa.
So now, so now he is the executive chef at Langdon Hall in Cambridge. I'm sure you've heard of it, Maddie.
Oh, I know Langdon Hall, man. That's crazy.
So he's the executive chef there, and he has his own chocolate. And another good friend of mine, Chef Aaron Carley, who is the executive chef at the Bruce Hotel in Stratford, is headed over to Langdon Hall to host a charity dinner with Chef Bangerter.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Right. A little, like, keep up on my friends from the last 5 years.
I like it. I'll segue into that.
All right.
Completely unrelated.
Don't need a segue because you said segue.
That's right. Segue. Cavefe. So, get to know me. Another one for me is I once super glued a Tickle Me Elmo to the ceiling of a Toys R Us.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Why?
Oh, well, okay, so the best thing is, so I worked at Toys R Us as an overnight crew, and this was the year that Tickle Me Elmer went bonkers, right? So we were, they would come off the truck, like, parents would be lining up out the window trying to bribe people, like, it was crazy. So one Tickle Me Elmo, I think it was the first one, that we took out of a box, and we were trying to set up the store display with the Tickle Me Elmo on the shelf, but people kept buying it. Right before, and then we'd have none, and you know, people would complain. So one night on overnights, we found an Tickle Me Elmo that's one of the employees was like hidden in the back. Right, I guess they were gonna buy it or something. So me and Matt, there was another Matt. He was definitely scared of spiders, poor guy. But we decided, because we were probably like way too tired working like 20 hours in a row.
Yeah,
we just started like cracking up. We're like, what if we tape this to the ceiling? And I'm like, tape this to the ceiling. It's going to fall off. The ceiling's full of dust and stuff. And he's like, ah, ha, ha. And we're all laughing. And I'm like, all right, what if we put it on the hot? Oh, no, okay. So it started off with like, we'll put it on a top shelf where no one can get it. And then I was like, nah, people could get a ladder. That's not high enough. And then we're like, okay, well, let's put it on in the overstock. And he was like, oh, that's cool. But someone, if we could put it there, someone can get it. And then I'm like, okay, we're going to glue it to the ceiling. And everyone is like, you can't. How are you going to even do this? So I glued the entire back of the box, and then I took 2 2x4s that I screwed together, put the Tickle Me Elmo on one side, and I climbed an 18-foot ladder, because this is Toys R Us before the renovations. The ceilings were 45 feet tall or something. And I'm at the top of an 18-foot ladder with 2 2x4s, and I'm, oh, this is so dangerous. Jeez. And I got the damn Tickle Elmo almost to the very top of the ceiling, and I held it there for like a good 5 minutes of the glue set, and he was stuck. Now, the funniest part of this whole thing is, if anyone remembers Tickle Me Elmos, they would go off out of nowhere, and they would just start laughing. And then one Tickle Me Elmo would, if they were on an end cap, it would start the other ones, and the whole end cap would shake and be like, it was insane. It was like devil worshipping shit. So,
oh, wow.
The best part of that is, in the morning, the store opens, and of course, customers are like, do you have Tickle Me Elmos? Do you have Tickle Me Elmos? I'm like, no, we don't have any. They're all sold out. So one customer, of course, it took like 20 minutes, right? He's like, there's one. Because like obviously customers are like always sneaky bastards, and they're looking like, where did you hide it? And I'm like, yeah, it's up there. And he's like, can you get it down? And I'm like, nope. And he's like, oh, I need it. I'm like, that's great. And I walked away, right? So the manager comes to me, right? The manager, day shift manager, Audrey. And she's like, can you get that Tickle Me Elmo down? And I'm like, she's like, that's funny. I don't know who put it up there. And I'm like, I don't even know how that got up there. So no one would have fessed up to like how it got there. And she had like five people. They're like, climb a ladder, see if you can get it. And obviously, like, there's no way. I put it up there with 2 2x4s screwed together. It's like 20 feet higher than a ladder. There's no way you're getting it down. So at the end of that day, this was the best. She's like, we have to get that Tickle Elmo down. She's like, I'm getting 100, you know, phone calls and people walking the store. They want this thing, right? And she's like, you got to get it down. Who the hell? And she's really angry now that who did this, right? So she's like, can anyone think of a way to get it down? And people are like, we should throw footballs at it. So if anyone
well, that
knows.
That actually kind of makes sense.
Right? I was like, this is awesome. So there's like these giant stackouts of mini Nerf footballs. And she, okay, you have to understand. If you ever work in a toy store, there's a point at which a manager may ask you, throw mini footballs. And I'm allowing you to do this.
Tickle Me Elmo.
Yeah. Now, you do this, by the way, at store close and at overnights all night long. But your boss is telling you that I'm paying you now to do this. So you've got like, there's like 20 of us all whipping Nerf footballs. And dude, this is, if someone had a, I wish there was video back then. No one could even get this thing close, right? I super glued this. Super glue. It is. I'm laughing because like it's never coming off. If you whip a volcano ball, the ones that whistle that are heavy, I'm like, maybe you could rip the entire cardboard apart enough to get it down.
Yeah.
But I glued the back. It's not coming off, guys. And they're whipping balls like all night long at this, right? So finally, someone after you know a million hits, they knocked it enough to fall down, and they got it down. That Tickle Me Elmo that was pummeled by Nerf footballs and glued to a ceiling for a couple of days.
It's still sold.
Sold for $120.
Oh my God.
Now the best part about this is the best part. Toys R Us can't accept more than the price of the Tickle Me Elmo. I think it was $19, right? But the manager, because she's awesome, she's like, I'll take the money, and the extra money I will buy the staff who got it down pizza. So
that next night,
we're all eating pizza because I glued a Tickle Me Elmo to the ceiling. I just wanted to call that out. That's what I did. So I told the story to people, and they're like, you're a legend. Like, it spread throughout for years. And other stores would call in because they're like, is this true? I'm like, yeah, that's true. I glued it to the ceiling. And then we, you know, basically I earned us $100 of free pizza. I'm like, anyways, I could do an entire episode of Get to Know Me's from my time at Toys R Us.
Maddie Tales at Toys R Us.
Oh, the tales of toys, man.
Yep.
The tales of toys. But what else you got? There's got to be one for you, the Soap Crew. Do you know he has a tattoo on his chest of heavy meta? Hashtag get to know him.
Yeah. Hashtag see me in Vegas, count my 32 tattoos. And I'm going to get another one when we're there. There you go. Hashtag get to know me. I'm getting the grenade.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, print out a good one.
Caitlin wants to get a tattoo with me too. So hashtag get to know me. You want to have fun?
Hashtag tattoo session.
Yeah, exactly. I'll live stream my tattoo session. I'm happy to do that.
Oh, here's another good get to know me. So, I grew up dirt poor, right? So my dad was like super cheap, and he made me push. One of our cars broke. Okay, the transmission broke. Didn't go backwards. So for an entire 18 months, I think, I had to push this car backwards into my driveway because we lived on a main road every time my dad came home. or if he was lazy and he just drove in, I had to push him out in the morning. So the funny part about this is when I started my business and I actually had enough money to like lease a car for the business, that's when I got the Jetta, right? The manual Jetta.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did, because I have a little brother and he's 13 years younger than me. So the first thing I did is I took my little brother to the parking lot. And I think this was 1999, so he's like 13 years old or maybe less. I think he's 11. He's really young, okay? And he's tall enough to just touch the pedals. So I taught my brother to drive a manual car, and when he was 11 years old in a parking lot, and the first move I tried to teach him was the full reverse handbrake 180.
What?
Yes. So I showed my brother this, and he's like, this is awesome. Now remember, I grew up watching Dukes of Hazzard, Knight Rider, like A-Team, like cars and like what they would do. There's a disconnect, right? The reality's not there. So the first thing I did was like, I want to learn a 180 handbrake turn. And I did it. It was really awesome. But I'm teaching an 11-year-old how to drive a manual. And the first thing I'm like, here's what you're going to want to learn. We're going to go backwards really fast, and then you're going to jerk the wheel and pop the parking brake. He never got it, needless to say. But hashtag coolest older brother in the world.
Obviously.
Hashtag why aren't we dead? Hashtag I'm still alive. Hashtag please my kids never do this.
Hashtag Maddie, take me to the racetrack.
Yeah, hashtag this is, did we expire the, what is the term? It's been too many years, you can't prosecute me now.
Statute of limitations.
Yeah, statute of limitations. Hashtag Covefe. Oh my God. The stuff we did, man. The stuff we did. It's
This is like I was saying this before. Like back in the '80s, like head injuries didn't exist. Like they just weren't an issue.
Oh, I think they exist, all right, but I don't think people knew what they were. I remember I saw a kid get like he was running like we had swing sets in a playground, and someone was like you know swinging on a swing set, and a kid ran right in front of him, boom, full on like he must have flown 10 feet. Kid's knocked out cold, right? And people are like going over like he's okay. He's fine. Oh, yeah, and he's walking back the lineup all woozy and, like, barely falling over. Yeah, you should go see the nurse. You know what the nurse does? Here is a ice cube wrapped in a brown paper towelette. Hold it on your head for a bit. Okay, I swear to God, this is, like, the level of healthcare we had as kids.
Oh, man. Okay, so here's a crazy story. Last year, here's, like, the not crazy part. Last year, Kelly's daughter got clocked in the head with a bell that the teachers swing at the end of recess.
Oh no, yeah, not the giant bell.
Yeah, like boom, like knocked his daughter, like she had a scar, like for sure.
Oh, for sure.
So then sub story. When we went to Cuba for Kelly's wedding, Kelly walked into a wall and busted his head open, exact same scar as Ava.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But anyways, so that was like a huge deal at the school when they're like, the teacher shouldn't have these bells, like this is an unnecessary like danger, like, you know, this could happen to anyone. So when I was a kid,
oh, here we go.
There was a kid at recess. So I was in like grade 6. He was probably a little bit younger. So we're talking like, you know, some number of years ago, and he was like standing up next for bat at playing baseball.
Oh no!
Yeah, and he just walked up a little too early and like took a full on swing in the face.
Oh
yeah, like, and I remember like sort of like being close to the like epicenter of devastation, and it was like a big deal and like, you know, whatever. But and he was okay. I think there was something. It was just so crazy to see like, wow, this kid just got smoked in the face with a baseball bat, and it's like going to the hospital, and then like the next day it was just like, well, that stuff just happens when you're playing baseball. Like, gotta be careful. There was no city council meeting or like. No. It was just like, well, he probably shouldn't have been standing that close.
The funny thing is, when I grew up on the, when we had a playground inside the school, every single year, like every year, not maybe even more than once a year, like a kid would break his arm, like falling off the monkey bars, whatever. Like,
I was that kid for 3 years in a row.
Yeah, well, there you go, right? Like, dude, I playing soccer in class, I remember a kid ran into the goalpost at full speed, broke his forearm. Like, oh, a clavicles? Or what is it, your collarbone? Yep. I must have seen at least 3 kids break their collarbones, you know, and see their arms go all floppy and messed up. Oh, dislocated shoulders? Oh, it was a joke, man.
Yeah.
The recess teacher knew how to pop a shoulder back, and that's how many times that happened.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just nothing. It was nothing. You're just like, meh, whatever. You know? Like, I get, you know, when you have kids, you're like, everything's got to be the bubble wrap world. But there's a point at which, like, I think we lived more potentially interesting lives. I think I look at my kids now, and I'm like, even I can tell. They're just getting to the point where they're like, we can't do anything. Like, at their school, they have to walk and talk. So in the winter, the teachers say, no running. Someone could slip and fall. So they're like, go outside, it's minus 40, and just walk and talk.
Oh, dude, and winter time used to just be like, who can be king of the snow hill and push everyone else off?
That
was what winter was about. We played,
oh, yeah.
Well, Maddie, have you ever heard of the game Shalaki?
Shalaki?
Yes.
No. This sounds interesting.
Okay, picture this.
What are the rules?
Picture this. It's like
this sounds like some hockey variant.
It is. Picture this. It's like a 125% bigger air hockey table.
Oh,
okay.
Is this where people line up and try to bowl them over?
No.
Oh, that,
no. This is like an actual like thing that we like played at a school. So it's about that size. So about the size of a pool table on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay, with like 2x4 boards.
Yeah.
And you play with a puck.
Yeah.
And your stick has no blade, so you use like a ringette stick.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
In the middle, there's like a barrier with like slots in it that you have to get through. So you're like,
oh,
double
yeah.
down.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So all we did when I was a kid was play Shalaki, and when you couldn't play Shalaki, you pushed other kids off of the hill.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then
that
when fights
like
broke out, you probably got chased or hit with a Shalaki stick.
You got hit with a Shalaki stick.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Oh, man. I hung out with, like, some spazzy kids, and, like, we would, like, you know, wrestle, and then it's, like, one person goes over the edge, and it's, like, a serious fight, right?
Oh, for sure.
And that was like the group that I instigated. I mean, hung out with. So
it
was just like you push somebody off the hill for the third time, and they would just grab a Shalaki stick and like chase you down and hit you with it 3 times. And they'd be like, "You're in detention for 30 minutes," and then it was over. Like that's it.
Oh, dude. The funny thing is, I remember because like we had like a part field, part pavement kind of like yard, and one part of the pavement would flood like when it would get cold. So it would get all ice. Now, what was so awesome is the janitor or the custodian, he wouldn't throw sand or salt on it. He would help us make it slipperier. So this was the funnest thing because everyone would run at full speed and try to slide.
Oh, man.
Now,
yeah.
One year, we had like a 20-foot or 25-foot long piece of ice that every kid, like all of us would work together to groom it. Like I had, you know, the older kids would have like the grade twos, like polishing the ice in between like slides, like things. And as this is one of those beautiful things, there's no grades, there's no cliques. There was just the sickest thing of ice. And then we created a game spontaneously that occurred where a bunch of kids would stand like bowling pins and someone would run at them and try to knock them down.
Jesus.
Full on, like, dude, and can you imagine this? Like, and there's no age limit. So, like, you'd have a grade two, a grade six, a grade eight, and then, you know, like, a grade eight would run at them.
Yeah.
And try to, like, literally, like, knock them out at the knees. And they're going face first into the ice. So, I remember a teacher coming over and being like, "You kids are crazy." That was all he said. "You kids are crazy." Okay, so, like, I don't know. There was teeth in the ice. Like, people lost teeth. But it was the funnest thing ever. And then, you know, yeah, eventually, like, it got taken out. But, like, the point is, I don't know how many times I saw things like that. And I remember there was a kid, there was a school around the corner. They were fixing up their playground, and they put a zip line in. And I remember, as kids, we're like, well, that school is the coolest, like, school ever in the world.
Man, I remember my school got a zip line.
Oh, my God. I hate you. You were one of them privileged schools. Your zip line, like, the zip line is the best, man.
I was definitely not in a privileged school.
Okay. Okay. So last one. Here we go.
All right.
Hit me.
For me. do I have a crazy dirt bike story? Not really. I mean, okay. When I was 10 years old, I got my first skateboard. And I was at my cousin's house this weekend because my best friend, one of my best friends just got married. And my cousin, it was out of town, it was in London, and my cousin was like 5 minutes away from the wedding site. So I was like, "Yo, I wanna not pay for a hotel. Also, can I have a home cooked meal and stay at your house?" And she was like, "Yeah, of course, come stay at my house. Awesome." So we were telling stories about us and crazy stuff happening to us as kids because she's got two boys too, and they're 17 and 19 now. So about like the age of have gotten into some shit for the last few years, but like, you know, are starting to develop as normal human beings.
A sense of morality.
Yeah, exactly, right? So we're getting there. But there we me and my cousin's boys are very similar, so we were reminiscing on tales of crazy stuff. So the first time I broke my arm, I had gotten a skateboard from my grandfather for graduating, going from grade 6 to grade 7, and that was like a new school and everything. So my brother got a bike and I got a skateboard, and my mom's like, "Don't get him a skateboard, he's gonna break his arm."
Yeah, of course.
And I'm like, "No, I'm awesome and resilient and everything about me is amazing, so I need a skateboard because I'm the coolest." So my grandfather believed me. He agreed and got me a skateboard. So I remember this skateboard. It was a New Deal skateboard. It was like a silver, like kind of hollow foil back on the bottom of it, which was really cool. But it was like an actual good skateboard. Like it wasn't this like crappy pre-con from Walmart with plastic trucks
from
or anything.
Zellers?
It was a legit skateboard. Like it had, it was a legit skateboard, and then had like a giant like whale fish on it. Actually, I should look up and see if I can find the deck. So anyways, it was like a real skateboard, but I didn't know anything about tuning it. So I didn't like tighten the trucks or do anything. And at my grandfather's condo, there was like a slight ramp that went around back for the underground parking, but it was like just under an overhang. So it wasn't real underground. So it was an outside like slope that was basically one story over like 30 feet. So like nothing crazy. And I like started to ride down the hill and I was like, "Okay, this is cool. Like, I can do this." So then I ride down the hill a few more times, and then I start to get some speed, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, this is I got this. Like, I'm the best at everything.
I'm the master.
I already own a dirt bike. Like, I got this. Like, I can play darts. I'm 10. I'm amazing."
I can play darts.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh man, I'm like, I just like, I understood that I was like coordinated and like skateboarding was going to be a thing I was just like going to get, you know?
Yeah.
And I have four older brothers and they all hate me for this because whenever I pick up something like kinesthetic, I just get it. Except throwing a football. I can't throw a football. Anyways, so I'm riding down the hill and I remember like 10 seconds of my life as if it were an eternity.
Oh, yes. Okay. The slow motion.
Not only slow motion, but every detail. Like, I remember what asphalt looked like. I remember all this. So I start to go down the hill and I start to get speed wobble. And the first like two back and forths of speed wobble before it starts to really go, if you've ever ridden a skateboard, is like,
oh yeah,
kind of cool. It's like snowboarding. Yeah, you're like, oh man, this is like, I'm like cruising back and forth and this is wicked. And then
I'm on the edge.
And then it like actually wobbles out of control, right? That's how the speed, yeah, that's how the speed
one of the wheels
works, right?
Lift.
Exactly.
As soon as one of the wheels lift, you're done.
Exactly. So I remember this being like, oh, this is so cool. Like, this is exactly what I wanted to do. This is wicked. And then the wobble and like how the board just turns sideways and goes out from under you, you go flying.
Yeah.
So as I'm sailing through the air, I remember thinking, oh man, this,
how did I get
like,
here?
No, like I got this. Duck and roll, no
oh,
problem.
No.
Like, I've been here before. So I put my arm down and land on the, like, if you bend your hand forward, I landed on the back of my wrist.
Oh yeah,
on
crumpled.
The ground.
Snap.
So my arm broke in half and stuck out. And it's called, the doctors called it, it's what's called a crankshaft break. So imagine if you're starting your car in the 20s and you're whipping around that thing and it slips out and it comes back and hits you in the front of the wrist and pushes your arm, like busted in half and pushes it out of place.
Oh, gross.
So that's only like, this whole part is only like 5 seconds of my 10 second epic experience. So I remember landing and looking down and being like, oh, I'm going to have road rash on my wrist. And like rolling and getting up being like, and looking at the back of my wrist, holding my arm in front of me being like, oh man, it's so like, it's so red, it hurts. And then holding my arm up in front of me, just the realization of like,
uh-oh, that's not good.
This is really bad. This is like really, really bad. So like, my whole world like comes shaking back into focus of like, okay, this is not, the bad things have happened here. And I like continue walking down the hill and I walk over to my grandfather who's having like a lovely lunch with all of his like the people at the condo and the board that he's on and whatever. And I remember walking up to him and be like, Grandpa, like my mom's gonna be really mad, I broke my arm. And I remember turning him like, how do you know it's broken, son? And I just hold it up.
Yeah, you're limping, wobbly rubber
and just
arm.
The look of sheer horror on his face. I'm just like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. As a kid, I remember how many countless times you just walk into your parents, like having a talk. You're like, you need to look at this. And they're like, what the hell just happened? Like, oh yeah. Now the best, I'll close this out with one of the, this story reminds me of Ferris Bueller for some reason. Just because, like, well, as a kid, that was one of my favorite movies. But I was in grade 6. This is 1 year into me riding, like, the best bike I've ever owned, which was a 1985 red BMX bike.
Jeez.
Like, the coolest bike I've ever had in my life, right? Like, I remember I must have begged for this thing for 2 years. Like, this was a thing I know my parents saved up for, like, This BMX bike was absurd. Had red wheels. Oh, man. Had everything. It was just the coolest thing ever. So I would ride it to school in the summer, right? And my mom was like, oh, you know, you should take the bus. I'm like, are you nuts? I have a BMX. I'm riding. And it's exactly 3 kilometers from my house to school, which wasn't too bad. So I could, if I was really pushing it, I could do it in, like, 15 minutes, right? So I remember I was like, you know, I'm tired of, like, bringing my crappy brown bag lunch to school. I'm like, I bet I could bike home, eat a good lunch, and then bike back, right? Because we had an hour.
All right.
Right. So I'm like, for weeks in my head, I'm like, I can do this. Like, I need training. So I would come home from school, get on my bike, and I would time myself with the coolest digital watch ever. I had a Timex Transformer watch. It was the little gray robot guy that clipped onto a black thing, and it had a timer feature. It was awesome.
Amazing.
And I would, oh yeah, oh yeah. This is like so 80s, it's not funny, right? So I would roll up my one jean leg so it didn't get caught in the spoke or in the chain, and I would book it, and I would try to do it, right? And so I was like, I was really confident. I'm like, you know what? I bet I could do this. So one day, summertime, the teacher's like, all right, it's going to be lunch. Everybody go down to the gym, eat your lunch, whatever. And you're supposed to bring a note if you're going to leave. But because my mom was an ex-teacher, the secretary, Mrs. Brosher, she was like my second mom, right? And so I got away with a lot of stuff. I know people hated it, but I got away with things because, you know, my mom knew all the teachers, right? So I'm running by and I'm like, all right, go home for lunch. And, you know, the secretary's like, yeah, whatever. I know your mom. Good, right? So I get on my bike and I book it. And I'm gunning it, man. I'm gunning it. My watch. I was running down the stairs. Boom, put the timer on. Boom, I'm going. So I make it home like in 15 minutes. Like I crushed it, right? And I am like sweating to death. And I'm like, oh, man. Oh, yeah, that's right. My house is locked. So I biked all this way, and I'm a kid. I didn't have a key because I didn't plan anything correctly. Now, as a smart, resourceful 80s kid, I remember, I'm like, you know what? The basement window, I can put my hand through the screen, and I can jimmy it, and I can get in. So I end up getting into my house, and it is now, it's like 12:40, right? Because it took a bit of time to get into that. So I have like 20 minutes. But really, I only have 5 minutes because I got to get on my bike if I'm going to book.
Yep.
So I microwave. We used to have horrible food back then. And there were these little red boxes of like microwaves, French fries. So like I microwaved a box of fries. It's gross, man. Anyways, I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, I'm screwed. I'm like, how do I get home, man? And I'm like, dude, if the bell rings and I'm not there, dude, I'm dead.
Yeah. Because
not only did I like sneak out, I'm dead. And I'm like, okay. So my backyard had a little bit of a hill. Like, it wasn't very tall. It was like 10 feet tall. It had a little hill, and it would exit into this parking lot of a library, like, because I grew up next to a library. And so I would book out of that. You know, it was like James Bond. I'd, you know, jump through these little holes, and I'd get out, right?
Nice. Exit because into the back cave.
It was totally like a back cave, dude. It was totally like a back cave, man. It was awesome. So I'm panicking, right? I don't lock the house. I just run out of the house, get on my bike, and I panic. And my bike hits a root, and I completely, over the handlebars, crack my head against the ground.
Jesus.
The bike gets, like, completely destroyed down the hill, hits, like, one of those curbs, and a fucking car was just driving right by there. And the car, like, just stopped in time, but he ran over the front tire of my bike. And he backs up off the thing, and I'm, like, in pain, and I'm hobbling over, and I'm like, no, and I go to get on my bike, and my bike tire's bent.
Yeah.
It's not moving. Like, I'm sure my dad can fix it later, but I'm not going to set a record of getting back to school in 15 minutes on this bike,
or on foot.
So I am, like, just starting to cry internally, but I'm a boy, so I'm not going to do that, right? And the guy's like, you okay, son? I'm like, I'm fine, never mind. So I just leave my bike on the hill, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. How the hell am I going to get home? So I walk over to the corner, and I'm like, in my head, right? I'm looking down East Mall, because it's just one street, right? It's East Mall down. I'm like, oh my God, how could I run it? Could I walk it? Like, how am I going to get back to school? Like, can I phone the school? Like, what's going on? Now, my mom used to give me and my sisters bus tickets, right? And we'd wait at the bus stop, and it was the same bus stop. This is like public transit, okay? Sometimes we'd take the school bus, but it would come early and we'd miss it. So sometimes we'd have to get public transit. Now, this is back in the day when the same guy who drove the bus, his name was Bob, I knew the guy. Like, this was his shift, right? Like, he knew us. And my mom would, like, wait at the bus stop, say hi to the bus driver, put us on the bus, like, if we missed the schools, right? So, like, we knew these people. And I'm standing there, okay, on the other side of the street because, like, the bus is going north, south, or south, whatever. Anyways. So the bus stops, and the window opens, and he whistles. He's like, kid. He's like, aren't you supposed to be in school? And I'm like, I am, but I broke my bike. And I just start rambling this story that obviously he can't hear from across the street.
Yeah.
And he's like, get in the bus. So I run across the street, and he's like, are you supposed to be at school? I'm like, yeah, I know, but I biked home. And he's like, I got you. Now, this is the 80s. This is 86, okay? And I am not exaggerating. Now, maybe my memory is a little rosy, okay? But in my head as a kid, I'm dirty. My arm is sore. I'm crying literally, right? And I'm standing at the bus. And I always like to stand at the bus instead of sit. So I'm standing right on the steps of the front part of the bus, holding onto the little rail. And the bus driver was like, I got this. And he just starts going, okay? And I'm looking at my little Transformer watch, and I'm like, I've got like 5 minutes. And he's like, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Don't worry. Don't worry. He's driving past people waiting to be picked up, dude. The man is my hero, Bob. If you're alive, I wish I could meet you again. He like just like goes right past, like beep, 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 you know, and people are like giving the fist. He drives right, like 2-3 stops, just like completely drives past people. And he pulls up in front of the school, right? And I can hear the bell going off. Dude, and I'm like, I swear to God, it's like Ferris Bueller, right? Because I got to run this last little bit around the fence, and I'm like, you know, doo, 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 and I'm like, I'm booking it around the corner, booking, 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 and I like skid like on the sand, like right as my line is going into the door, and I'm like the last person in line, and I just walked in, right? And the teacher's like, well, you had a fun recess, and I'm like, you'll never know. You'll never know,
you're like
right?
And I just walked. Like, yeah. Like, what happened? You're like, I started.
Oh yeah, dude. Home. I got tears in my eyes. I'm covered in sweat, dirt. My bike is gone. My jeans are torn up. And as I'm just like, because like as we walk up the stairs to go to our room, there's a giant window. And as like as I'm walking up the stairs, I look out the window and the bus is driving away. And I'm like, I could see the guy's fist in the air. Like, yeah, I got him there. Like, oh my god. It was, and to this day, like I told my mom the story later, and she didn't. She's just like, what? Like, so no human being actually knew that story except for my father. That was like the man was You're still here? Go home. Why are you listening to this? There's nothing here. Go home. Turn it off. Go have a life. The show is over. You don't need to be here. Listen to me. There is nothing else here. It's over. It's done. Go. Just go have a cafe. Go have a cafe. We'll see you in Vegas. Oh, go home. Go home. Anyways, hashtag hypo and I love you. Yeah.